Welcome to Talos Takes, the security podcast for everyone from the C-suite to the front lines.
To Talos Takes, everyone, I am Jonathan Munshaw, joined as usual by Nick Biasini. Thanks for coming on as always, Nick.
Thanks for having me, John. Glad to be here.
So today we're going to be talking about brute force attacks. And this is something that we published an advisory about on the Talos blog. And I've actually noticed that it's garnered quite a bit of press interest since then too. So I thought it was would be a good time to check in on that. And I'll be linking to everything in the show notes as usual for folks who want to know more. But I wanted this to kind of serve as a 101 episode because we've actually haven't, this is episode 181 and somehow we hadn't talked about brute force attacks before. So can we kind of just start by going over what a brute force attack is exactly and the mechanisms behind how an adversary usually launches one of these?
Yeah, so brute forcing is, for lack of a better term, just a test of strength. So their basic idea is they're going to keep coming at you and trying to figure out a way to get in. Most of the time, we see this in a variety of login attempts where they're going to try and brute force a username password combination to get into your network. At its core, that's basically all it is they're just going to keep trying until they get in.
So what's notable about this recent activity and the particular like services that adversaries are targeting? What about this specific activity caused us to be like, hey, this is a thing we need a renewed warning about?
So this particular one is kind of interesting. They've been using a really wide range of IP addresses, which makes blocking a little bit challenging, especially if you don't have something like failed ban implemented. The other thing is they're using a very specific curated list of usernames and passwords, which we were actually fortunately able to include in the blog. So one of the first recommendations I would do is go download that username and password list. Make sure that for some reason you don't have one of those on your network. That would be one of the very first things you can do.
The old welcome 123 password type of a situation. Like those are the types of passwords we're talking about, right?
So they're a little bit more specific than what we would see normally. There were some in there like spring 2024 bang, which is pretty common where you see like a season with a year and an exclamation point. So they're a little bit more advanced than like the basic password or password 123 and things like that.
Right.
But it still is more, for the most part, common passwords. There are a couple that are fairly specific, which is kind of strange.
What can defenders and admins do to defend against brute force attacks? I think like the first thing that comes to mind is just like, hey, lock down accounts that have too many login attempts. But other than that, is there really anything else that people can do?
Well, the issue with this one and the thing that organizations really need to be prepared for is the impacts. So if you have, say, a VPN service that's exposed to the internet, which in this case is what's being brute forced, you'll have users who potentially need to log in to be able to do their jobs getting locked out. Additionally, we've seen a fair amount of instances where canned authentication infrastructure has fallen down. So you need to be prepared to be able to thwart these types of attacks. And there's a variety of ways that you can do that. From a login protection perspective, two-factor authentication is absolutely necessary. That would greatly reduce the ability for them to be successful. Because even if they do guess your username and password, they're not going to have your two-factor authentication code, so it's not really going to lead anywhere. From a resource perspective, there's a variety of things you can do to try and help your infrastructure. You can do things like make it so that only managed devices have the ability to log into these accounts or these VPN endpoints. Use certificate-based authentication so that organizations beyond username and password also need to have a specific certificate on the box to be able to do any level of authentication. Also, making sure you're actively blocking IPs. I mentioned fail to ban before. It's a pretty common functionality that's available in most network infrastructure that basically after a certain amount of failed logins, they ban the IP address. So you don't have to constantly monitor and update these IPs time and time again.
And what about kind of on a deeper level when you're looking at your entire security architecture? What are some ways that we can avoid brute force attacks? Like the first thing that comes to mind for me, at least, would be implementing MFA or just going entirely passwordless. Because if there are no text-based passwords that people have to enter, then it's just kind of a non-issue.
Yeah, absolutely. Multi-factor authentication is by far the best approach to this. I mean, obviously, enforce strong password requirements. You know, do audits of your passwords. That's another big thing. Like, you have this list of passwords. Do audits against your own infrastructure and make sure that you're not potentially susceptible to these things. These are all key things that you can do to help prevent you from being compromised in these types of attacks.
And with brute force attacks, I feel like they're not really particularly, like, you know, sexy, quote unquote. You know, like, people love to write about ransomware attacks and that kind of stuff that make the big headlines. And like, theoretically, with a brute force attack, like, anyone could technically carry one of these out if you felt like you had the time to just sit there and try it manually. Is there any way we can predict how the cadence of these attacks might rise and fall? Obviously, as we said earlier, we're seeing a spike targeting specific services right now. But are there any other indicators of, like, when this type of attack might ebb and flow in the future?
It, like, these big spikes. So let's be clear. Brute forcing is happening constantly on the internet. If you stand up a server that's listening on port 22, within minutes, you'll start seeing authentication attempts trying to log into your box. What the issue is the really high volume of attacks. Those we don't see super common pop up like this, where we start to see impacts. Years ago, we talked about a group we called SSH Psychos that did a massive amount of SSH brute forcing. So we do see it periodically. It's just not something that commonly causes enough damage for it to rise to the importance where we need to talk about it.
All right, awesome. Well, thanks, Nick, as always, for coming on. Is there anything else that I missed on this topic that you think is important to note?
Just again, multi-factor authentication. It's going to save you time and time again. We're talking about brute force today, but we've talked about phishing. We talk about the importance of multi-factor authentication time and time again. Please, please protect your assets with multi-factor authentication.
All right, awesome. Well, thanks as always, Nick. I appreciate your time and a block in your crazy schedule this week. So thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, no problem. Glad to be here. Have a good one.